1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and just going to read one verse here, and then we'll read in Isaiah chapter 55. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. Very familiar verse. We have quoted it many times and had different references to it. Just simply says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned," or spiritually obtained or learned. So we find here that the natural man, the Bible tells us there's three kinds of men. There's the natural man, there's the spiritual man, and then there's the carnal individual. Somebody said, "Well, I thought you always said there's only two types of people, that's the saved and the lost." Well, that's true also. But in that group of saved people, there's the carnal, along with being spiritual. Many of them are carnal. But the natural man is that person that has never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He has never come to a realization of his need, and so therefore he is lost and has no knowledge of spiritual things. That's why it's an impossibility for the natural man to understand this book that we hold. Now, they may understand mentally and give a mental asset to certain things that are here that the human mind can figure out and what we can obtain, but the natural man cannot receive the spiritual things of the Word of God, because the two are they cannot coexist together. The Bible says here, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit." And so he just has no way of taking that. It's sort of like trying to mix oil and water. It just does not mix. There's no way of doing that. And so the spiritual things of God being taught or trying to be lived by the natural man is an impossibility. And so therefore we have a real problem. The man will never really understand what is going on in the life of the world and the society in which we live. Turn back, if you would, just for a moment, just as a point of reference here, to Isaiah chapter 55. And I think this will tell us a little bit about the why of 1 Corinthians, where we read there in chapter 2. In Isaiah 55, in verse number 9, the Scripture says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." So we find that the Lord has made the statement through Isaiah that He is higher than we are. He is the one that is above all things. And as the heaven is higher than the earth, the Lord says, so are my ways higher than your ways. And He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so that's why we can't comprehend with the natural man, the natural mind, why we cannot comprehend the spiritual things of God, because He's far above us and He's far beyond our understanding. And so therefore, Paul tells us that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit because they're foolishness. That's why tonight there's a lot of people that say we're foolish. That's why there's a lot of folks that really think that being a Christian is sort of absurd, and being a Christian doesn't help you, and being a Christian is just sort of out of fashion, out of date, and the enlightened mind does not believe that anymore. And so the reason they feel that way is because it's foolishness unto them to even believe there is a God and to believe that the Spirit of the Lord guides and directs. And so tonight I want to just sort of think for a few minutes. I've got two or three things that we could call the message, but probably tonight the thing that I want to really key in on is that society or man will just never get it. They just do not understand. And without the help of the Lord, and without the awakening element of the Spirit of God, the natural man will never understand. He will never, never come to an understanding of spiritual things. There are two main views that we have of the world. We have the Christian view, and then we have the humanistic or the world view of what's taking place around us. You and I tonight, we look through eyes that have been born again. We look through a heart that has the Spirit of God, the Scripture says, has moved in with us, and We are the abode of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is our Savior. And so therefore we begin to look through eyes that have been born again, and our hearts and minds have been energized by the Holy Spirit. And so therefore we see things a little differently than what the world does, because we look through a spiritual understanding of the Scripture and a spiritual understanding of the world that is around us. A lost person has no ability to do that. He just does not have that capability. You know, there are some folks in our society that are just not capable of doing certain things. They have handicaps that they just cannot do. I guess if we come to a real point of understanding tonight, all of us are handicapped in certain areas. There are some things that I could never do. There are some things that I could never accomplish. And there are some things that you are handicapped. It doesn't matter how much somebody tells you how to do it and how to handle it. It just seemingly does not register, and we're just not able to perform the task. Well, that's what a lost man has when he looks at spiritual things. He just does not have the capacity. He does not have the ability. He does not have the Spirit to help him and to guide him and to direct him. I believe we need to maybe understand and maybe should teach a little more along the line of how important the Holy Spirit is to the believer. Because without Him, we are not going to accomplish very much. Without the Holy Spirit, first of all, we'd never come to know Christ. We'd never be saved. And then He moves in our heart when we trust Him. And then He guides us in the paths of righteousness for the namesake of our Lord. And so we find that the view that we have of things is so much different. Have you ever talked to someone that they don't know the Lord? They've never come in contact with spiritual things. And have you ever realized and seen how different their thinking is and how different their ideas and their thoughts are? And we sit back and say, how in the world can they, how can they accept that? How can they believe that? And you know what they're doing when they're talking to us? They're saying, how in the world can they believe that? How could they ever accept those things that seem so foolish to them? But the view that we have is energized and given life to us because we have the Holy Spirit that lives in our heart. And so therefore we have a part of that higher being, as God tells us there in the book of Isaiah. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. And it's just as high as the heaven is above the earth. And so there's no comparison. But the Lord has moved in through the Holy Spirit, and He begins to teach us and direct us some things in God's Word of how we can survive in this society. But society around us just will never understand it because they know not the Lord. The world believes that in order to conquer something, you must be stronger than the thing you're conquering. The world says in order to gain, you must get from somewhere and you must obtain it and you must keep it. Society says that we've got to take it from somewhere in order to keep it with ourselves. In order to conquer someone, we must reign over them. And in order to gain wisdom, we've got to do all the work and all the things that the world tells us to do and to get into the books. And nothing wrong with books. I love books. I love my books. But that doesn't give me wisdom. It may give me some knowledge, but wisdom comes from God. And wisdom is the ability to use what knowledge God has given unto us. But the world says in order for me to be exalted, I've got to run over. I've got to destroy something in front of me. That's the world view. That's the society in which we live. But the Bible teaches us a different thing. The Bible teaches us that when God is on the scene, there are some things that take place in our lives. There are some things that will help us to rejoice in the Lord and to follow the direction that God gives us. And so therefore, we find that He shows us His view and His way of doing what we need to do in order to get the work of God accomplished. I personally believe the economy of this world will fail because of man's not knowing God's ways. We hear much about our economy. We certainly experience some things along that line, but I don't know of anything that's too joyous right now. I don't see a whole lot of indicators that's telling us it's going to get better. And the reason for that is because man goes at it the wrong way, in a wrong direction. Man has a different thought. And so I want us to think tonight of some things, how God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and that the natural man will never, never understand that. He'll never come to understand God's ways without the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. The more I read my Bible, the more I study, the more I realize it's all by the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is ridiculed in a lot of places. There's a lot of Baptists that would ridicule that statement. But man's not going to pull himself up. Man's got to do what God says. And the Holy Spirit is the director of that. But we need to understand, as a believer, if I'm going to accomplish anything, it's not that I've got to run over somebody. It's not that I've got to destroy somebody. Some people, the only reason they exist sometimes is to see how far they can put somebody down or how much they can run over somebody. And that's the world's idea of getting ahead. That's the world's way and the world's thoughts of getting up the ladder or doing more and accomplishing more. But my Bible tells me if I want to do more and if I want to conquer and if I want to be successful in the work of the Lord, I don't have to run over and destroy somebody, but I must surrender. You see, God's way is different. The world says tear down, but God just says to surrender. Romans chapter 12, verse 20 says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now that's God's plan. That's God's way. And that's different than what the world has to offer us and what the world gives to us. And so, if I'm going to get ahead, if I'm going to serve the Lord, if I'm going to do something and accomplish something for God, then the first thing I have to do is not tear somebody down, but I have to tear myself down. I have to surrender my will and my ways unto the Lord. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, the Old Testament, God was interested in sacrifices that were dead. God was interested in the sacrifices of blood and the blood of bulls and goats and heifers and turtle doves and all those things that are mentioned there in the list of of things that were acceptable to be sacrificed. And in the Old Testament, the Jew had to sacrifice daily. As a nation, they had to have sacrifice yearly on that Day of Atonement in order to push the sins of the nation of Israel forward until one day Jesus would take them away. And so God was dealing in the Old Testament economy of a dead sacrifice. But now today, in our generation and this time period, the church age, the Lord says that He wants us to be a living sacrifice. He's not interested in us dying. I've heard people say, well, I'd die for the Lord. The important thing is, would we live for the Lord? A lot of people would die, but would we live for Him and serve Him? And so He tells us to have to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then He puts that little footnote that really puts an exclamation point to the whole thing, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable to serve the Lord. It's not unreasonable to be a servant of God. It's not unreasonable to present ourselves a sacrifice to do what God would want us to do and to live in such a way that's pleasing to the Lord. That's not unreasonable. Paul says it's just our reasonable service. How do we do it? How do we accomplish that? Well, verse 2 gives us the details of that. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. When you conform to something, that means you're molded by it. And if you are conformed to it, that means the outward force is molding you to a position or to a place. But the Scripture says, be not conformed to this world. But there's another thing. Be ye transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind, that is, that you may prove as a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a perfect will for all of us. And the way that we do that is to be a living sacrifice, transformed, mind renewed, working for the Lord. But the world says, oh, you'll never get ahead that way. It's amazing how many times we are influenced by the thoughts of the world. Somebody says, if I want to get ahead, I've got to do this. No, if you want to get ahead, just surrender to the Lord. Because then he'll make you get ahead. He'll give you the ability to do that. And so the world doesn't understand that. Man hasn't got it yet. And man won't never get it, because not unless he gets saved. I'm talking about mankind. This generation around us will never understand that until they get born again, until they get saved. And then their eyes and their minds are enlightened. And we know as a Christian, if I'm going to live, if I'm going to be what I ought to be, if I can be that living sacrifice, then I must die to self. I've got to be that living sacrifice. Paul said, I die daily. That didn't mean Paul physically went out and died every day and then was raised again. But his emotions, his life, his desires, he said, I crucify myself. Really what he was saying, he says, I put my emotions, I put my desires, I put my way of life to death spiritually so that I might gain those things that the Lord would have. And so if I'm going to live, if I'm going to live for God, then I've got to die to myself. I've got to die to my desire, my wants, and my want-tos. The Bible says, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, John says, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So John tells us that that grain of wheat or corn or whatever you put in the ground, if it's going to produce anything, if it's going to do any good, it has to die. You can go out and plant a garden and wait 3 or 4 days, 5 days. If you have the warm spring rains come upon it and the warm heat that comes upon it, and you dig into the ground where you planted that grain of seed, whatever it, beans or whatever it is, you'll find that seed or that grain begins to deteriorate. It has died. But in that death, you'll find there's a little root that comes out and goes down to the ground. Oh, you cover it back up, and in about 3 or 4 more days, you'll see something shoot out of the ground. That's life. But it would never happen if that grain did not die. And so you and I tonight, if we're going to sprout or we're going to grow for the Lord, if we're going to do things for God, then we've got to follow the process that God gives. And except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. Now if we want to just be loners and do nothing else, just us, I'm going to take care of me and nobody else, then that's the way it'll be. But if you die to self, if you crucify your life and crucify your desires and your flesh and just sort of put them on the back burner and say, I'm going to try my best to serve God today and see what the Lord will do in my life and how He'll bless me and all the things He'll do for me, and I'm not going to do all the things the devil puts in my way and those desires and those temptations that's there, I'm going to turn them over to the Lord. You know what you're going to do? Before long, you're going to sprout and be a servant of God, and you're not going to be alone. You're going to find that you've crucified yourself. You're going to find that if you're going to conquer, if you're going to win, you got to surrender your life. And if you're going to live, you got to die. The world says that's crazy. If I'm going to live, I got to live while I got time. If I'm going to live, I got to live it up. I've got just a few days on this world. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Whatever takes place happens. That's why the world never gets it. That's why they don't accomplish. That's why they're not happy. That's why that's why many of the world are so unhappy that they go out and commit suicide. Their life is not fulfilled. Their life is not satisfied because they've gone at it the wrong way. They've gone the wrong direction and they haven't learned how to live. They're trying to live, but they're already dead, the Scripture says, dead in sins and trespasses. And so there can be no life until they learn what the Lord has done for them. And so we got to save our life. We've got to understand to do that. We've got to lose ourselves and just turn it all over unto the Lord. Matthew 10:39 says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Now that's a paradox. That's a strange statement. Well, how you gonna find your life? Well, just lose it. How you gonna live? Die. How you gonna win? Surrender. That's opposite of what the world thinks. If you're going to win, you got to go forward. No, if you're going to win, you got to surrender. Surrender our all to the Lord and surrender ourselves to Him. The world doesn't understand that. If I'm going to win, I've got to run over somebody. If I'm going to win, I've got to be stronger. I've got to have more abilities. I've got to have more arsenal. I've got to have more things. But God just says, surrender all. Just give it over to Him. The world says, if I'm going to gain something, then I've got to get all I can get. Somebody says, and said years ago, get all you can and then count all you get. Put it up for a rainy day. That's the world's philosophy. Just get all you can and then save it and hoard it up and keep it. Well, the Bible again is different than that. The world says if I'm going to get, I gotta grab it and take it to myself. But God says if I'm going to get, I've got to give. Give of ourselves, give of our time. Proverbs 11:25 says, a liberal soul shall be made fat. That's the only time it's good to be a liberal. Liberal giving, that's the only time. I'm not a liberal, I'm a conservative. And I'm strict conservative. But I like liberal in some things. And the scripture says here, a liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. So if a person is liberal in giving of themselves, I'm not talking about the dollars in our billfold. I'm just about liberal of giving. We have time. We have our talents. We have all of those things. And God blesses a cheerful giver. God blesses a giver that loves to do. I enjoy trying to see the Lord, see what the Lord will do. And if you try to outdo Him, He'll show you up. But the world says, no, if I'm going to have everything my way, and I'm going to have everything at the end of life the way I need it and the way I want it, then I've got to hoard it all together. But God says, no, just give it away. Just wherever the need is and where the things are. I'm not telling you to go out and give everything away that you got. You know what I'm dealing with. I'm talking about being liberal in our understanding of the needs of people and not hoarding everything to self. Self is on sometimes a road of destruction. Self-destruction. A lot of times the problems we have are self-inflicted, and the difficulties that come to us come because of our way of life. But God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful there in that verse, it means hilarious. It means almost laughing. To have fun. And I've been in a few offerings, it was fun. I've seen a few that just was fun to watch and fun to be in. And the Lord blessed it. We've had a few of them here that the Lord took care of needs of people, and we just enjoyed giving, enjoyed doing, and enjoyed having that. And you know what? I believe that's why the Lord continues to bless. I don't believe you cannot outgive God. That's an old worn out statement. It's not worn out because it's still true. You cannot outgive God. You can't outdo the Lord because His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. He is much higher than we are. We're just a little speck on the spectrum of time, and God deals in eternal things, but yet He cares about us. He cares about me and you, and He tells us if we'll give liberally, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he's going to have abundance of what the Lord has given him. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says that He will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now there Malachi is talking about the tithes in the house of the Lord. He says, you see if He will not do that. But it's not just the tithe. We're not talking about that kind of giving tonight, even though that's the thought in Malachi. But He will open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. And old tightwads don't get that. And the world doesn't understand that. And the world hoards up everything they have. And then in a few short months, at the end of their life, they spend everything they've saved because health has left them and nobody cares. I've seen God's people been taken care of by God and His people where normally somebody says it's impossible. But our God is a God of impossibilities. He can do it and He can take care of it and He can help us. So if we're going to, as a believer, if we're going to obtain something, then we've got to learn to give of ourselves and to give of our time. The world says if I'm ever going to get to the top and rule, I've got to just step over people and do what I got to do. But the Lord says we just must, if we're going to go up, we must be a servant. Now, a servant isn't too high of a position. A servant in the Bible days were people that were owned by their masters. The Lord talks about that. Paul talks about the service and servants there that they don't know what their master does and it's written under their business and all those things. But the Scripture tells us we must have that servant attitude. Luke chapter 12, verse 43 says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing." Now, if we want to be a servant of God, then we've got to be doing. Blessed is that man or that servant that when his master comes, when his Lord comes, the Scripture says here, he's going to find him doing. Now, next verse says, "Of a truth I say to you, that servant will be made ruler over all that he hath." So here's a master, I'm not talking about God now particularly, but here's a master that has servants. And when the master comes, or when the Lord comes, and he finds his servant doing something, the Bible says here that he's going to have him rule over those things that he has. If he can trust that servant, then he will make him rule and reign with him. Now, the New Testament tells us that one day, we as believers, we're going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, here we find, if the Lord comes, blessed is that servant, you and I. When the Lord comes, when his Lord comes, when he arrives, he finds that servant doing something, then he'll be blessed of that servant and he'll be rewarded. And so if I'm going to have a place of higher being and higher authority, then I need to be willing to serve. Paul said, "I'm a bond servant." That's a slave that's in chains. And he said, "I'm that kind of servant to the Lord." Paul's life was bound unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was put in very many predicaments and positions where he was a servant of people. But everywhere he went, he was a servant of God. I can't imagine being those Roman soldiers on either side of the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. How would you like to have been a lost person chained to Paul? How would you like to have been an old wicked sinner that hated God and hated everybody around you? And here you are, here's this man in the middle, and he's a Christian, and here's another one on this side, and they're bound, they can't get away from Paul, and Paul's so glad they can't because he's got something to tell them. He's a servant. He's in chains. He could have griped and grumbled. Paul and Silas there in Philippian jail, they could have complained to the Lord, but what did they do? They sang praises to the Lord at midnight. And the whole jail was shaken and the whole crowd stayed there. There was a great miracle in that night. A lot of miracles that night. I believe the number one miracle was that when the doors were opened, none of the prisoners left. They had already heard so many things, they just wanted to stay around for it. And the old jailer came in, he was going to kill himself. And Paul says, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." We're here, we're servants. And that night, another miracle took place. That old jailer got saved. Later on that night, another miracle took place. The Bible says his whole household got saved. Later on, another miracle took place because we had a church called Philippi. And I believe Lydia and the Philippian jailer and those people that were there, I believe they realized the importance it was to serve God. They had a good example. His name was Paul. And so if we're going to have blessings, then we must be a servant. The world says if I'm going to be smart, if I'm going to be wise, I just got to get. The world says I got to learn, I got to study, I got to do. Nothing wrong with that. Those are commendable things, and thank God for ability to do that. But 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world," now there's the key to it, "in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." It's a fool in the world's eyes. Let him become foolish. Paul says that The Lord has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe. And so a person that has all kind of wisdom and all kinds of knowledge, if he's going to really have the right kind of wisdom, then he needs to become a fool and to realize that foolish things of the Lord are far beyond and far above the wisdom of this world. I'd rather die a fool and go to heaven than to be the wisest, richest, most well-known man in this world. I'd rather be somewhere nobody'd ever hear me, nobody'd ever know me, and know the Lord. I don't know anything about the spiritual lives of those men, women that we hear around this world that have all the money that they could command, and they can drop $3 million and they don't even think anything about it. Well, I'd rather worry about $3 and go to heaven. I'd rather worry about $300 and go to heaven as to have all of that. And what does it gain? What's it worth if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What's the world worth? What's the things around us worth? So if we're going to be wise, then we must trust Him. If we're going to be exalted, we must be humble. These are things that the world says, if I'm going to be exalted, I've got to show myself over everybody else. Well, the Lord says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So here's a man that's humbling himself as a little child. You ever watch little children? They're so innocent. They just have, they're just on their own little world. I had this afternoon, we were doing something we've never done. I'm not sure we'll ever do it again. But I had first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade boys. I'm going to try to do a little bit of basketball with them. And boy, I had to just be real careful, because I wanted to wring their neck. Sometimes they will not listen. I needed Sharon to help me. She deals with them all the time, but I found out she likes to wring their neck too. But you'd be over there talking, and here's one over here just doing his own little thing. I said, "What did I say?" And he told me. So that sort of shot that. I said, "You got to be quiet. If you can get it, you got to be quiet so I can get it." So they're so innocent, and they're so in their own little world. And the Lord says, "Here, we got to become like little children. If we're going to have the blessings of the Lord, we don't have to run over everybody. We humble ourselves before God." And one or two of them little boys, I don't believe they ever held a basketball in their life. They had no idea what to do with it. And after we practiced, they still didn't know what to do with it. But we had fun and enjoyed it. And I just wish it wasn't Wednesday when we have to do it. That makes a rough day. But these little children are so impressionable. And they're so innocent in what they do and how they act. May God help us as a Christian to have the same innocence in our life. And say, "Lord, I'm going to trust you with whatever you tell me. Whatever you give me, I'm going to trust you with it." Because that's really what those little boys and girls do. They trust the authority figure. If you tell them to do it, they'll try it. They may not get it done. I had one little boy, he's about yay tall. He's first grader. I said, "Shoot that ball and hit that basket." He couldn't get it up there for anything. But he tried. And before the day's over, he kept trying. He finally just figured out, he said, "I can do it this way." He hit the basket on the bottom side of it, but he hit it. And those are things that you get and mature because you come to the point, I'm just following directions. God's given us His directions. All we got to do is follow it. The world's totally wrong. Their whole thought process is wrong. The world says, if I'm going to conquer, I must whip. God says, no, if you're going to conquer, you've got to surrender. The world says, well, if I'm going to get it, I've got to take it. And God says, no, if you're going to get it, you've got to give it. God's ways are so far above our ways, His thoughts above our thoughts, that there's no comparison. All we've got to do is follow Him. And it'll work. It's been proven time and time again. Now the world will never get it. They'll never understand it. Unless some servant will give and go and tell them, here's how you win. Here's how you gain. Just trust Him. And I pray the Lord help us to do that in our personal life. Let's end.